Overview of the mortgage market. The nature of residential lending has changed significantly in the United States during the past 40 years. One major shift is in the source of funds for loans, as the industry moved from regulated depository institutions to the sale of mortgage-backed securities sold in financial markets. Regulated depository lenders dominated the residential mortgage market until the late 1970s. Prior to 1980, savings accounts, held by institutional or regulated lenders, accounted for over 75% of the money used for residential lending in America. Rising interest rates forced depositors to withdraw their funds from lower interest-bearing savings association accounts and move them to higher-yielding investments such as money market funds and certificates of deposit. The 1980s saw the collapse of many savings and loan associations. As a result, the influence of savings associations in the mortgage loan market diminished. Primary mortgage market. The market where borrowers and mortgage lenders come together to create and negotiate terms of a mortgage transaction is called the primary market. The primary mortgage market is made up of the businesses that lend to borrowers for the purchase of real estate. They are often referred to as loan originators because they initiate or originate the loan paperwork and the cash that is transferred to buyers at a real estate closing. Primary market lenders include savings and loans, commercial banks, mutual savings banks, mortgage companies, credit unions, individuals, or any person or business that provides cash for someone seeking a mortgage. Commercial banks. Commercial banks perform a variety of functions, from being a depository institution to providing lines of credit and loan products to the communities in which they are chartered. A commercial bank's working capital is primarily generated through deposits from its clients. These deposits are either demand deposits, checking accounts, or time deposits, savings accounts, and certificates of deposit. While the majority of commercial banks today participate in mortgage lending, this was not always the case. In the past, banks primarily provided loan products to businesses to meet a variety of needs, including providing funds for new construction or expansion. These loans were typically of a shorter term than residential mortgage loans, and thus easier to underwrite. Today, commercial banks are active in residential mortgage lending. While the majority of their loans are sold in the secondary market, many of them are retained as portfolio loans. Commercial banks provide a wide range of mortgage products and are able to service the needs of residential, commercial, and agricultural customers. Some commercial banks participate in the residential lending market by purchasing blocks of mortgages that have been originated by other lending organizations. Construction loans are a big part of the business of commercial banks and are attractive because they are short-term loans. Builders and developers secure commitments from lenders for a permanent long-term mortgage on a project and fund the construction with short-term construction loans. When the project is complete, the builder closes on the long-term mortgage and pays off the construction loan. Home equity lending is particularly attractive to commercial banks because of their relatively short term and high rate of interest. Savings and loans. Savings and loans have their origins in the social goal of pursuing home ownership. These institutions were originally organized by groups of people who wished to buy their own homes but lacked sufficient savings to purchase them. In the early 1800s, banks did not lend money for residential mortgages. The members of the group would pool their savings and lend them back to a few of the members to finance their home purchases. As the loans were repaid, funds could then be lent to other members. The most important purpose of these institutions is to make mortgage loans on residential property. These organizations, which also are known as savings associations, building and loan associations, cooperative banks in New England, and homestead associations in Louisiana, are the primary source of financial assistance to a large segment of American homeowners. As home financing institutions, they give primary attention to single-family residences and are equipped to make loans in this area. Some of the most important characteristics of a savings and loan association are: it is generally a locally owned and privately managed home financing institution. It receives individual savings and uses these funds to make long-term amortized loans to home purchasers. It makes loans for the construction, purchase, repair, or refinancing of houses. It is state or federally chartered. Life insurance companies. Life insurance companies are funded by premiums paid by those insured. These funds, as with most savings vehicles, are reinvested to produce capital. While life insurance companies do not invest heavily in the secondary mortgage market, they do participate in the purchase of mortgage loan blocks as an investment strategy. However, their investment in the real estate market is more typically in commercial real estate, as their primary investment directives are less focused on liquid assets and more on stable, longer-term investments. In commercial lending, life insurance companies often prefer to make participation loans. In a participation loan, several companies contribute funds and share on a pro rata basis the risk and the rewards. Insurance companies often acquire an equity interest in the property being financed. Pension and retirement programs. Pensions are fed, as with banks and credit unions, by client deposits. These deposits are held by the fund in anticipation of distribution when the client reaches retirement age, and in the interim, used for investment purposes to shore up capital. While in the past, these funds were used to invest in government and corporate securities, organizations have expanded into the secondary mortgage market with increasing frequency, investing in blocks of mortgage-backed securities, in addition to the more commonly used investment vehicles. These investments put a large amount of stress on many of the funds that participated in them during the financial crisis of 2008. Mortgage-backed securities took a severe financial hit, and by default, pension and retirement funds using these securities as investment vehicles suffered as well. Funds lost billions of dollars, leading to wide-ranging effects for both the individual participant, who experienced steep personal losses in some cases, and the companies running the funds, who faced corporate losses to both capital and future revenue. Credit unions. Credit unions are not-for-profit organizations that exist to serve their members. Like banks, credit unions accept deposits and make loans. However, as member-owned institutions, credit unions focus on providing a safe place to save and borrow at reasonable rates. Unlike banks, credit unions return surplus income to their members in the form of dividends. Federally insured credit unions are regulated by the National Credit Union Administration and backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. The Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act of 2010 increased the share insurance coverage on all federally insured credit union accounts up to $250,000. Each institution decides whom it will serve. In order to join a credit union, potential members must be part of a field of membership, which is typically based on one's employment, community, or membership in an association or organization. Credit unions serve members of modest means. Low-income credit unions provide financial services at reasonable rates in areas that are often underserved by banks. Credit unions provide many of the same products as their commercial counterparts, including mortgage lending services. These institutions may participate in the secondary mortgage market as well, often engaging in various real estate mortgage investment conduits, REMICs, by packaging their in-house mortgage loans. Mortgage companies. The failure of the savings associations in the 1980s represented a window of opportunity for mortgage companies. Unlike regulated depository institutions, mortgage companies have historically not been a major concern of the government because they do not hold depositors' funds. For the most part, mortgage companies are not licensed or regulated as the banks, and savings associations are by the federal and state agencies. The money that mortgage companies use to make loans comes from the sale of bonds, which is considered a business transaction, not a savings account deposit procedure. A significant difference between mortgage companies and regulated lenders is that mortgage companies rely on commercial banks that grant a warehouse line of credit to them. The loans are short-term, collateralized by the mortgage notes they fund, and are normally repaid through the sale of these notes to the secondary market. Since the 1960s, Many laws and statutes have been enacted to somewhat regulate the mortgage lending industry at both the federal and state level. In the past, any individual meriting the confidence of a lending institution could assist in arranging a loan, thereby earning a fee for his or her services. Qualifications for a mortgage company were set mostly within the industry. If a mortgage company elects to deal with a government agency involved with mortgage lending, that agency's standards must be met. This includes HUD/FHA, VA, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae. The requirements are similar: a reasonable net worth, experienced personnel, and adequate office facilities available to the general public. Approval must be obtained from each agency with which a mortgage company wants to do business. Approval by either HUD/FHA or VA in itself is often accepted by conventional lenders as adequate qualification. Mortgage brokers and bankers. Mortgage loan originators can be broken down into three categories: mortgage bankers, mortgage brokers, and correspondent lenders. The distinction between a mortgage banker and a mortgage broker is becoming less clear-cut in the marketplace. The historical distinction between the banker as a source of residential loans and the broker as a source for specialized commercial loans has all but disappeared. A correspondent lender is almost like a hybrid between a banker and broker. Mortgage bankers. A mortgage banker is generally a person, corporation, or firm not otherwise in banking that provides its own funds for mortgage financing, as opposed to savings and loan associations or commercial banks that use other people's money, depositors, to originate mortgage loans. A small number of mortgage bankers do supply permanent long-term financing. However, the majority specialize in supplying short-term financing. When dealing with residential loans, mortgage bankers generally borrow money from commercial bankers on a warehouse line of credit to fund the loan at closing. The loan is pledged at the bank as collateral and held, or warehoused, by the bank until it can be sold. In today's market, a mortgage banker seeks to originate numerous loan transactions that are then sold to investors. These investors are other mortgage bankers, commercial banks, insurance companies, retirement funds, and pension funds. The mortgage banker usually remains in the picture and services the mortgage loan for the investor client. Servicing activities include collecting monthly payments, disbursing the funds to pay taxes and property insurance, supervising the loan, preventing delinquencies, and coordinating foreclosure activities in the event of delinquency. Mortgage brokers. For many years, the role of the mortgage broker was to represent major lenders and insurance companies. Mortgage brokers provided consumers with assistance in securing hard-to-place or niche sources of mortgage money. They were the link between the borrower/customer and the client/lender. Commercial loans have long been the preferred function of the mortgage broker. A breakthrough for the mortgage broker began in the early 1980s with the increased development and sale of mortgage-backed securities. It is no longer necessary that a lender of long-term money hold deposits. This new source of mortgage money has brought many new players into the mortgage market. Some brokers are capable of handling the origination, processing, underwriting, closing, and funding of the mortgage transaction. However, loans originated by the mortgage broker are usually closed and funded in the lender's name and are usually serviced by the lender as well. This is in contrast to mortgage bankers, who not only close and fund loans in their own names, but continue to service them as well. Most mortgage brokers specialize as the middleman between the borrower and the lender. The mortgage broker negotiates, sells, or arranges loans to be delivered to large investors. The investors assign large blocks of loans into loan pools as collateral to back mortgage-backed securities. The securities are sold in the big financial markets, thus recovering the pooler's cash to purchase more loans. These investors are large investment bankers, such as ING Group, large commercial banks such as Citicorp and JP Morgan Chase & Company, and large mortgage bankers such as Wells Fargo Mortgage. Rather than opening expensive retail offices around the country, These investors rely on mortgage brokers to provide loans, which they will place in mortgage pools. This procedure works well for mortgage brokers. Residential loans are assembled into larger blocks for sale to secondary market investors. Mortgage brokers at one time originated up to 80% of all mortgage loans. Recent changes in the regulatory environment have resulted in a majority of brokers moving to correspondent lender status. Correspondent lenders. A relatively recent classification of a mortgage loan originator is the correspondent lender. Like a mortgage banker, a correspondent lender is someone who processes, underwrites, closes, and funds their own files in their name. Once the loan is closed, the loan is then sold to another lender with which the correspondent lender has a business relationship. Correspondent lenders are usually small lenders who have the necessary funds, through a warehouse line of credit, to extend loans at their own risk. After a loan is closed, a correspondent lender will usually sell it to a larger wholesale lender. The correspondent mortgage lenders can underwrite the loans, but the loan program commitments are typically based on terms approved by the larger mortgage lender, or sponsor. Many correspondent lenders, like mortgage brokers, have a wide array of products from different sponsors and act as an extension for those larger lenders.